Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's there, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols' family attorney, Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, you know, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy.
And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. It gets happy up in here. We got Bill Press. Pundit, podcaster, and most importantly, our good friend. Bill, I was going to ask you about the podcast first, kind of double-cross myself. Who'd you drop today, Bill?
Today, hey, guys, good to see you.
By the way, Bill. Thanks for coming around, Bill. Good to see you.
And, what is it? Waukesha? I've never been in Waukesha before.
Buddy, you didn't. Waukesha is one of the exurban counties, supposedly the GOP hotbed of the state of Wisconsin, but this radio station, the Beast of the East, man, that's down in Chicago today listening, hear it all the way to Green Bay. We got the whole eastern portion of Wisconsin covered over here, Bill.
Well, I'm glad to penetrate the GOP bastion.
Careful who you're penetrating over there, Bill.
I know. Okay. So the podcast today, really good talk with Philip Bump. You know, he's a columnist for the Washington Post.
Yeah.
He just put a great new book out, just dropped last week, called The Aftermath, which is the last days of the boom generation and the future of power in America. I enjoyed my conversation with him because I just think the boomers have been getting too much attention for too long, and they basically haven't done squat, right?
Well, you know? I think a lot of people are blaming the boomers, Bill. I mean, what?
No, exactly. So, yes. No, that's what I was saying. What? Okay. So there are a lot of them, right? Okay. Quantity, we'll give them quantity. Quality, what have they contributed? How have they left this a better country, right? I mean, millennials, Xers, and Ys today, yeah, they can't get a job. They can't rent an apartment. The climate, the planet is dying, right? And what do the boomers do about it? Nothing, right? So racism got worse. Anti-Semitism got worse. I don't give the boomers much credit at all. But, and Philip Bump is not out to praise the boomers. He's just saying they did have a big impact. And they did. You know, 1946, all these horny soldiers came home from Europe and they started making babies, and they made a lot of them, which meant we had to build a lot more schools, a lot more roads, a lot more colleges, you know, economically had a huge impact.
Well, sure. But what about culture, though, Bill? I mean, the boomers, I mean, you know, all the music from back in the day, the civil rights movement. I mean, there's that was all boomer age folks, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'll give them that. I'm not saying they're a total wasted generation. All I'm saying is, you know, the old tradition of turning the campground, right?
Yeah.
or the planet over in better shape than when you got it.
Yeah.
Aren't you a boomer, Bill?
Not so
I mean,
much.
No offense, but aren't you a boomer?
I am part of the silent generation.
You've never been silent for more than 2 minutes since we've known you, Bill. Our fine guest, Bill Press. Bill, prior podcast guest that you were bragging about one time when you came around, Michael Cohen, right? Not so distant. Didn't you have Michael Cohen on your podcast?
Maybe a couple of years ago. Right. Yeah.
It all seems also, recent. As the mooch you on, get older, Bill.
Scaramucci.
The mooch.
Yeah.
Well, my point is everything old is new again. Bill, I believe Michael Cohen is suddenly having something of a redemption. The Stormy Daniels, she's back on the front pages. Bill, do you think we'll ever get to the bottom of Donald Trump paying off the porn star he supposedly didn't have an affair with, didn't have sex with, but gave her a lot of money for not having sex, almost as much as I've given to Dom?
For having sex?
No. Well, we'll see what happens. The night is young, Bill.
No. Yeah. I think, look, you know, Donald, the whole Donald Trump thing. But stuff, I don't want to get our hopes up, but stuff is closing in, right? Georgia is closing in. There are all kinds of signs that the grand jury's now, it's finished up. They've issued their report. There are signs in Georgia that she's going to drop the bomb down there pretty soon. And then the New York thing, the Stormy Daniels, which we thought had gone away. And this is the DA or whatever, who originally kind of walked away from some of the Trump investigation, but now he's back with this piece of it, right? You still have the New York Attorney General, and then you've got special counsel in the Justice Department on the documents, and then you've got the Justice Department and the FBI on January 6th. There are at least five investigations, right? I may be forgetting one.
Gene Carroll is another one out there, Bill, as well.
What's that?
The E. Jean Carroll, the civil suit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Rape allegation.
Yeah.
Defamation case turned rape allegation.
Right. Which is very much still. So count that up. That's
well, of course.
One of these things is going to drop. And I think several of them are. And which is why I think, you know, Donald Trump, he came out of hibernation. He finally left Mar-a-Lago to go somewhere other than the golf course. Talk about, by the way, you know, if this were a Broadway show, it would have opened and closed on the same night.
Right. Terrible. It's like he's not even making the effort. But the Alvin Bragg, you talk about the New York and this particular issue with the Stormy Daniels. Rachel Maddow on MSNBC kind of did a deep dive, a reminder. And Bill, I got to tell you, man, when I was listening to her report, you know, some of these memories are coming back because this is kind of old news, right? I mean, this has been going on for freaking years, Bill. And I don't know why Alvin Bragg walked away from it. And maybe he's feeling confident now because he got the convictions on the Trump organization. He got Weisselberg up in Rikers. You know, maybe he's just super, super cautious because, of course, it's a big deal to indict a former president. You know, I mean, this has never been done before. So if that's the case, well, then hopefully, you know, he'll come through and the grand jury will decide. But in that case, Bill, as opposed to Georgia, Fannie Willis now has to impanel another grand jury and present it. Now, the facts have been collected, so hopefully it won't be as long. But the people in the New York grand jury, they could decide sooner, perhaps, than in Georgia.
I want it now, Daddy.
Well, they could. And by the way, this is before he became president of the United States, so they can't do that BS executive privilege stuff, right?
Right.
Or the president is above all of this. No, this was long, long before. And by the way, pretty well documented. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was to Kurti's point, when the fixer went to jail, he admitted everything that he did. Donald Trump signed the checks. I mean, it's basically packaged here for you. If not for the interference of Bill Barr and the Justice Department, perhaps I would have been, we'd be talking about a different story right now.
Right. So maybe now, you know, Trump's response is he sues everybody else, right? Like he's suing Bob Woodward. He sat down for the interviews. He knew Woodward was recording him. And now he says, well, he could use some of them, but he couldn't use these. And $46 million he's been hurt by this book that came out. By the way, it came out last year. It's so funny. I was in a bookstore over the weekend, and I saw it. And I thought, oh, damn, I forgot all about that audio tapes book, right? That's out. That's the last thing I want to read. A set of audio tapes of Donald Trump blabbering
Bill,
away.
Do you think he's trying to chill a little prior restraint? Someone else is publishing, and he's trying to let him know what he, if I do it to Woodward, I'd do it to you.
Well, put it this way. You know, I'd like to have a list of how many lawsuits he's filed and how many he's won, right? It's probably like 450 to 3, maybe, or something like. I mean, yeah, he throws these things out there and they don't go anywhere. I mean, look at the 62 lawsuits he filed to challenge the election and lost every one but one.
Well, some of these, Bill, are starting to come around now. He's getting fined by the court for these frivolous lawsuits.
And no, counsel's getting fined.
And he's dropping other cases as well. I mean, good, it's about time. We should not be using our judicial system for political means.
No, this last one, I think it was in Florida, where the judge fined, I think, $1 million, right?
Yeah.
Basically said, you know, look, enough of these phony lawsuits that you're throwing out there, tying up the courts, insulting the courts with suits that have absolutely zero merit, right? I believe, either a Bush or a Trump judge. It was not an Obama judge that said that, too, right?
And even today, Bill Press, our guest, Tish James in New York, filed documents because the Trump and some of his cohorts are admitting one thing in depositions in other court cases and then denying it in their court case. You know, so, I mean, there continues to be a lot to hammer out with this. But the timing, Bill, is taking so long. Do you think that we're ever going to get some justice in these cases, man? And when?
I do. I do believe. Now, look, last time I did a prediction on
you were close.
The Devil's Radio was about Kevin McCarthy. I didn't get that quite right, but I will predict Donald Trump will, again, I'll predict Donald Trump will be indicted before year's end. That's not Bill, soon enough for me. It should have been 2 years ago, but he will be before year's end.
Too many
cases and too many serious cases and too much evidence that we already know, I believe.
Bill Press, you're sticking around for one more, right?
Of course, you're not getting rid of me this soon. This early.
You are so very, very close on the Kevin McCarthy. You predicted he would never be the speaker. It was historic. It had to go to like 92 ballots. Hey, I think it was like 15.
Hey, wait a minute. He stuck in there only to prove me wrong.
A week from today, Bill, State of the Union. Can you imagine the spectacle of Kevin McCarthy over the shoulder? How many people you think are going to be hooting and hollering from the peanut gallery, from the Republican side, a week from tonight, Bill?
Yeah, it'll be another Joe Wilson. You watch. You know, they're animals, right? You think Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to sit there and not shout out something? No. Kevin McCarthy will lose control of that crowd.
We never lose control. Not when Bill Press is here. Come back for Devil's Advocates.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. 27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows dip down to about 1 below
overnight.
Under clear skies,
southwest winds
5 to 10 miles an hour.
Daytime highs approaching 23.
Tomorrow, sunny skies.
Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night.
Lows level off around 14.
Temps below average
Thursday and Friday,
with highs from the single digits above zero to the mid-20s.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently 3 above.
It's good to be king, if just for a while, to be there in velvet.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of the spine program, please go to the website at civicmedia.us. You can listen to and download podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, we got the finest guest. He is Bill Press. He's a podcaster. Most recently, Philip Bump, his guest today, new podcast dropped, and also a pundit and a friend of the Devil's Advocates. We appreciate you coming around, Bill, and sticking around.
And by the way, I may have a new designation that I'm not very proud of, but a new member of Congress was spotted in our neighborhood looking for an apartment, or maybe having already rented an apartment within two blocks of where I am right now.
Ooh. Not George Santos, is it?
Yes, the big liar. God. Yes.
Who would accept his rental application at this late hour?
Bill, he won't be there long.
I know. My suggestion is don't sign a long-term lease. But I've been talking to neighbors to see if there's not something in the D.C. code where we get to vote on who moves into the neighborhood, you know? I'll tell you one thing. If that's true, he won't get a very good reception. He'll go to Eastern Market.
He's not getting a very good reception right now, Bill. My understanding today is he's stepped back from a couple of these committees.
Come on, that doesn't even mean anything. I'm stepping back from the microphone until I step back to the mic and keep talking again. That doesn't mean anything.
No, he stepped back. He stepped back temporarily from the committees that he'd been assigned to, right? Okay, but get this. Until these issues are resolved, what's he going to go back and reinvent his whole life again, right? And then we're supposed... Oh, so he wasn't really the son, the grandson of Holocaust victims. Oh, his mother really was not a victim of 9/11. Oh, he really didn't own 13 apartments. I mean, God, there's no resolving those issues. Those are just big, fat lies that he put on his resume. All right, so...
Well, that'd be the great follow-up question, right? George Santos, you want to resolve these issues. What are the top three issues you would like to resolve? You know, what are you talking about? You have so many things that you created, that you made up for all these people, and you say these things need to be resolved. Well, what does resolution look like to you? To me, it's him retiring. It's him resigning, Bill, but he is now the poster child of MAGA. I mean, I want him there. We need him there because that is exactly what they are. He just makes it so obvious.
I told you, I think the last time I wrote a column about that for the Hill newspaper saying George Santos for speaker. That because he represents, he is what the Republican Party is today. right? He is Donald Trump Jr. In fact, no, Donald Trump's lies were a lot worse than his lies, but he probably told as many lies as Donald Trump, for sure. Yeah, he represents them exactly.
Bill Press, you realize George Santos has now addressed the nation from the House floor, as fate would have it, the topic, Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I don't want to make light of Holocaust Remembrance Day, but the fact that the guy that gave the speech is kind of become famous for lying about what? Being Jew-ish. And the fact is, mama died in the Holocaust, or his grandma did, except she's a Roman Catholic from Brazil. It all seems quite ironic that they would. Why would Kevin McCarthy allow this floor speech to happen, Bill?
First, it's totally disgusting. And but Kevin McCarthy can't get rid of him because Kevin McCarthy can't spare one single vote for all the stuff that he wants to do. But look, I got a question for you guys because I'm reading more and more. Probably don't have time. We'll have to do it again. But, you know, the whole nation hinges on this Supreme Court vote in Wisconsin, right? So I want to flip it here a little bit and ask you a question. How's it going? What are the chances? What should we be doing? What should we be worried about?
I got to tell you, let me jump in before Crudy goes. I think it's going about as good as it possibly can. The Republicans, the MAGAs, they're eating each other alive right now. It's all over the place. So it's, as far as that is concerned, it's great news. The Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin, Bill, are in disarray.
The problem, though, Bill, is
good to hear. Such a, I know. It's encouraging.
Such a nobody loses the race. Well, I guess if you lose the primary, you lose the race on February 21st. We have the primary. And the red on red violence going on right now, Bill, it's going to be an afterthought in 9 weeks when they actually have this general election, the spring general in April. So I don't think a big portion of the population is paying attention. So whatever mud's being slung back and forth, well, A, it's already out there. And B, when the general rolls around, either you're voting on the blue team or you're voting on the red team. So it really comes down to, can the Democratic Party and their operatives, can they turn out theirs? Think Ben Wickler. He's the Democratic Party chair here. We've got a special election on the ballot, a senatorial election that means either Republicans have the 2/3 impeachment-worthy majority in the Senate. Very gerrymandered to get there, Bill, but one resignation, one special election that will be on the same ballot is the only hope Democrats have to keep these Republicans in their malfeasance from starting to impeach people in the next term.
Well, so the Supreme Court and the Senate seat are both up, same election.
Same yes, time.
Sure. In April, right?
And yes. The most expensive Supreme Court election ever, that $50 million that's coming down the pike, is going to bury any of the bad articles or the mud that was slung during the primaries. That's my fear, is that these Republicans in disarray, that's a short-term problem. Then we got a general to win.
Yeah, but then you take the mudslinging and the articles and the discussions that are going on right now between these candidates and other quoting other Republicans, and those are going to be used by whatever progressive or Democratic candidate to point out, hey, this is what their own side said against them. You're not going to see at least that kind of angle going on the Democratic side, Bill.
Plus, I have to say, knowing Ben Wickler, if I had to bet money on anybody, I'd bet money on Ben Wickler for getting the vote out and the organization. I mean, he's done wonders already in Wisconsin. I think he's one of the best political operative strategist geniuses in the country.
And it doesn't hurt the guy's efforts that we're building a civic media network across the
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Forecasters are warning of dangerous, icy conditions as a storm system hits the south over the next 2 days. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We have a widespread ice event unfolding from Texas all the way to the Ohio River Valley.
New York Republican George Santos has stepped down from committees in Congress. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Santos is already under investigation over his campaign finances and lies about his past. Now he's saying he'll hold on to two committee assignments but won't actually serve on them until he has been cleared. He is apologizing for being a distraction.
Two more Memphis police officers have been suspended and three fire department employees fired over the death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Elise Preston.
As Memphis continues to mourn, the Biden administration announced it will send four officials to Tyre Nichols' funeral tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Shelby County District Attorney says more charges could be forthcoming in the future.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Through the years, you've really kept up with the times. You're on social media.
Like, dislike, block.
Maintained your health.
10,000 steps. I'm a beast.
You even programmed your own smart home.
In 10 minutes, remind me that I'm a genius.
In 10 minutes, I'll remind you that you're a genius.
If you can do all that, you can definitely save for retirement. Just go to aceyourretirement.org, a free online tool sponsored by AARP that can help you get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll meet Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach, and in just 3 minutes, get personalized recommendations to help boost your retirement savings. They're easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's brought to you by AARP, so you know they got your back.
You are a genius.
Take charge of your retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org now. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. Always glad to see Bill Press. Sorry to crash him into a heartbreak like that. See you later, Bill.
Sorry, Bill. Evan, that's all right, man. We love you, man.
Bill Press, always a welcome guest right here.
Totally, absolutely.
You're
time.
All welcome here at 844-967-2789. Enjoy making new friends, especially Don. I get sick of the old friends. Some of them kind of wear on me.
Come on. I've known you for 30 years. What are you telling me?
Kind of wear on me. Sometimes. I'm glad you made it down to Waukesha today. I enjoy your company. I'm always a little bit more fun doing it in the same room.
Oh, yeah.
Except then I can smell you. What is that musk you're wearing?
Musk. You smell my musk. Crew's like, I think we got to get an apartment together. 844-967-2789. Crudy, I want to throw this one out there real quick.
Is it about Alpine Valley? Because no, I got an no, Alpine Valley
it's
story.
It's not. I just want to do a little follow-up on here.
Jeff has an Alpine Valley story, but go
ahead. With our conversation with Bill Press, political reporting, that Tish James said former President Trump and three of his adult children lied in the answers they submitted to the court in response to her $250 million lawsuit accusing them and the Trump organization of large-scale financial fraud. Both the former president's, the president, his children, falsely deny facts they have admitted in other proceedings. Pardon. They falsely deny facts they have admitted in other proceedings, deny knowing things that are plainly within their knowledge, and use defenses repeatedly rejected by this court as frivolous and without merit. Kevin Wallace, senior enforcement counsel at the Attorney General's office, said in a letter to the New York Supreme Court, Justice Arthur Engoron.
I didn't say that. And that other deposition, that's not me, that's somebody else.
It's totally him. James's office is seeking a pretrial conference to work out fact from fiction and to sanction defendants and their counsel for the false claims, according to the letter. Some of the claims include Trump's denial that he served as the inactive president of the Trump Organization while in the White House, despite his own sworn testimony that he did so. An argument, another one, Crudy, from Junior and Eric that they, quote, are being improperly targeted for investigation despite the court previously rejecting the, quote, unquote, witch hunt argument. And Ivanka's inability to confirm the contents of her own emails, according to the letter from Tish James. Also releasing today, CBS, Donald Trump talking about taking the fifth. What happens if you take the fifth, right? He said,
probably guilty.
Then he stopped saying, I take the fifth, and just said, same answer. We have a little bit of that, right, Evan? We got a little bit. Let's hear it. Here's Donald Trump. This came
in what proceeding? Because I had heard that Donald Trump occasionally might have taken the fifth, like 400 frickin' times.
Yes.
But what was the proceeding?
That was the proceeding. I'll look it up while we play it here. Evan, if you would, let's hear what Donald Trump had to say in that proceeding regarding the fifth.
If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment? I was asking that question. Now I know the answer to that question. When your family, your company, and all the people in your orbit have become the targets of an unfounded, politically motivated witch hunt, supported by lawyers, prosecutors, and even the fake news media, you really have no choice. Anyone in you my really position have not taking the Fifth Amendment would be a fool, an absolute fool.
Donald Trump is taking the Fifth Amendment. This was while testifying last summer in New York Attorney General's fraud investigation. This was the civil case, right? And in the sense that he took the Fifth, that can now be used against him in the trial. It's not a criminal case. If you take the Fifth in the criminal case, that cannot be used against you. But in a civil case, that can be used against you. And this particular trial, they're going for what? $250 million. And the dude said it 400 times.
It's so hard to keep it all straight.
And it's so much. I mean, for real, dude. It is a lot to keep track of. Go ahead.
Dominic, new details on Fannie Willis's potential indictment of Donald Trump revealed, according to a new report. I'm looking forward to that indictment day, the day we celebrate Fannie Willis Day up in here. Let me read a bit. The walls may be closing in on former President Donald Trump as the investigation in Fulton County, Georgia, continues to progress. Like progress, Dom, moving the investigation forward. According to Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Fulton County DA Fannie Willis is moving closer towards indicting the former president in connection to his infamous call to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger.
Could you just find me 11,780 votes? That's one more than I need.
Per Cruz, Bree Sparkman, and here's a quote, Tom. The special purpose grand jury has reportedly heard testimony from crucial witnesses, including Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, Trump's personal lawyer, is he still a lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, Senator Lindsey Graham, former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, and former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Amongst that list, there is only one name I don't see among future indictees.
Cassidy Hutchinson.
Yes. I think she's the only one not going to jail. According to Sparkman, Sparky says Trump is at the center of a string of alleged crimes that are both election-related and non-election-related. I think we know that.
So everything.
He spews crimes, Tom. He is like, he has a plethora of criminality coming out of every orifice.
That comes out of his pores, man. He can't even help it.
Some of the potential charges include solicitation to commit election fraud. You know, he's
not
probably
the Stormy Daniels case.
Solicitation to commit election fraud. Wouldn't that be ironic? Making false statements. Oh, yeah. And potential violations of Georgia's RICO Act.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Treat him like a mobster. Sparkman also explained the basis of the investigation and the allegations against Trump. Here's a quote. Listen close, folks. Trump is alleged to have repeatedly lied about the 2020 election to Georgia officials and to have used that misleading conduct as well as intimidation and threats to push them to change the election outcome. Oh, sounds very savory, Dom. Sparkman wrote, Trump may have committed the crime of false statements and improperly influencing government officials when he repeatedly told Raffensperger that he won the election, as well as when he listed numerous inaccuracies and falsehoods about the election. To face charges, Sparkman pointed out that there also has to be a pattern of misconduct. Do you think we can beat that standard, Dom?
I think so.
Do you think Trump's got a pattern of misconduct? I think he does. As shown by violations of two or more specified crimes, including the false statements or improper influence crimes mentioned above. Sparkman noted that legal experts believe there is consistent enough pattern for Trump to face indictments due to his repeated calls to election officials, false statements, and alleged coordinated attempts to provide fraudulent electoral certificates. Fraudulent electors, Dom.
A paper crime, Scrutiny.
Well, that's a bigger crime.
Come on.
That is a conspiracy crime against democracy, Dom. I think that might do a man.
Crudy, you brought up the mobster thing. And I just want to throw this out before we get back to the phones at 844-967-2789.
He's not a good fella, Dom.
This is from Mediaite. Former President Trump appears to be having a normal, as the kids say, evidenced by a string of bizarre rants on social media. On Monday, Trump rhetorically asked his readers, now understood why he trusted Russian President Vladimir Putin over his own intelligence officers. And if that wasn't weird enough for the aspiring commander-in-chief, he then followed with a favorable comparison to the great gangster Al Capone. Trump
I'm cool like Capone?
He used...
I'm going to federal prison for the rest of my life like Capone?
You would think, right?
Die of syphilis like Capone?
I might be convicted of paper crimes like Al Capone. He used the odd juxtaposition in the context of providing another example in his nearly nonstop victimization rant. He believes that every investigation and inquiry into his behavior is a result of the targeting and weaponized law enforcement effort designed to bring him down. You know, when you act like a gangster, a head of a family, a criminal, it's amazing how much your law enforcement comes after you. Here's the quote, then we'll get back to it. As a result, he believes he has, quote, more lawyers working for him on this corrupt law enforcement-induced bull crap than any human being in the history of our country, including even the late great gangster, Alphonse Capone.
The late great gangster. He admires him very much.
He does. He absolutely does. And Vladimir Putin as well.
And Putin.
Yeah, and this is the guy who is leading the Republican mega 2024 presidential field right now, right?
Perhaps currently, yes.
Yeah. The Al Capone, great awesome Vladimir Putin, terrible press, terrible intelligence agencies, terrible law enforcement, terrible everything. Anybody that comes after me, terrible, terrible. Anybody that worked for me and I subsequently fired, terrible. Anybody that I talk to and writes a book that I don't like, terrible. Donald Trump is the only awesome, awesome one here. Everybody else, terrible.
Well, at least we've established the ground rules. I think Trump looked in Pootie Poot's eyes and he saw A, big old dollar sign.
Right.
And B, a little palladium if he didn't play ball, if you know what I'm saying.
the dollar signs, right? He was doing this Moscow deal, right? He was building a condo with the condo.
Yeah, because he thought he was going to lose like everybody else,
right, and he cashed in on his efforts then. But then he won. But then he lied about it. Of course, Russia. I mean, come on, we can't even. There's so much.
No collusion.
There's so much that we can't even regurgitate it all in a 2-hour show on Monday through Friday.
You know, when we were talking about the investigations.
Which Bollinger. One?
Well, anyways, I want to turn to Bill Press and say, what about the Durham investigation?
Right.
And the recent reporting thereof that effectively not only did it turn up the criminality of the president, the former guy, Donald Trump, but Durham effectively kissed away his entire career, his prior good reputation, much like Bill Barr did for like a third time. He had a prior bad reputation, but guys at the DOJ, friends like our buddy Jim Santel. When's Jim coming around? Because I'm pretty clear he's on the schedule.
Perhaps tomorrow or Friday. Yeah, we got to get back and confirm.
Well, Jim's coming soon.
Yes.
So Jim Santel, not Friday.
We'll talk about Durham.
Well, tomorrow would be a great day for Jim.
Yeah, it would be a great day.
Hey, Jim Santel, if you're listening, tomorrow would be a great day. Today would be a great day for you. Let's sneak at least one phone call in here. Joe from Madison, be like Joe. Call 844-967-2789. Joe, you let me finish. Dom always interrupts.
Hey, Joe.
These friends of yours, you need to report them, I guess. I don't know what you're going to do. I would love to have Jim Santel respond to not only this Trump stuff, but also this stuff about Jennifer Doyle, who is a Republican candidate for our state Supreme Court. And taking off again of this case that involves her son, Michael Doyle, who apparently had allegedly had given a Percocet, sold a Percocet to a young man named Cade Remington, and it was laced with fentanyl, and Cade Remington has died that evening. There are so many parts of this that are so heartbreaking to me, and I just can't understand why this is still stalled out after 15 months. Investigation is being done by the University of Milwaukee Police Department, which then, I guess, does not go to City of Milwaukee, but actually goes to the Board of Regents, who would then seek to get DA involved in charging if that's the way it was going to go. But if you look at fentanyl deaths in our state, it's just skyrocketing. This last year, 2021, 1,280 people died from fentanyl overdoses. That's compared to 2019, it was 651. So there are a lot of people and families and friends who are being affected by these fentanyl overdoses. They're horrible. And I can understand why the family is just going out of their mind 15 months later and nothing has been moved forward with this case. I understand that Earl did an interview with Cade Remington's mother, and I'm assuming I can listen to that on podcast and very interested to do that. But there are just these tantalizing little details about this that amaze me.
I got to cut you short. I will point out Cade Remington's mom, I believe her name was Michelle Coolman, was on with Earl earlier today in the hour two. The podcast should be up. A very candid lady. She has started a website, a nonprofit, to educate people about the dangers of fentanyl. She said anyone's kid could die of fentanyl. It doesn't restrict itself to certain neighborhoods.
No,
it does not. Thank you all for listening to The Devil's Advocates. Busted Pencils at 7.
Oh, we got one more segment left. We'll be right back to wrap it all up. Stick around.
I would have given you more time.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media. It's not a
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 1 below overnight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 23 tomorrow, sunny skies. Lows level off around 14 tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Temps a bit below average Thursday and Friday, with highs from the single digits above zero to the mid-20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height, currently 3 above.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Truly, this is the last segment of the day.
Are you sure?
844-967-2789. Joe, thank you for the call, talking about the fentanyl overdose here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm torn by this, and there's a couple reasons why. Number one, obviously, as a parent, if one of my kids died from buying a counterfeit Percocet that was laced with fentanyl, I of course, I'd be freaking heartbroken, and I'd want justice to be done. Responsibility and judgment, these things are what we're talking about. It's the responsibility of the kid who bought the kid, the young man.
That took the
fentanyl, man. I mean, I've lived a life. I bought street drugs in my life. Let me finish. Doing that, you could know you could get something in it. You could get something laced. It was fentanyl, was something before that. Now, this is obviously a step up, but there were other things that could kill you. You know what I'm saying? That's always the risk. So the person that is engaging in the conduct is number one most responsible for it. Now, that being said, hopefully if you're engaged in the lifestyle, you have a quality supplier. If you don't, or even that person, you don't know what they're getting, right? So there's always that risk. But in this particular case, it seems that, you know, friends of the deceased, they have an idea where he got it from, right? That isn't always the case. Sometimes people just die. They end up ODing, and you don't know where they got it from. You're never going to find out because no one saw nothing. You know what I mean? In this case, there seems to be. So number one, if you're doing it and you're taking things that you shouldn't be taking, that's a risk. Okay, kids, that's the public service announcement. Number two, the mother, of course, now the Supreme Court candidate, apparently messaged her son, "Hey, are you still dealing drugs?" Okay, now it comes to judgment, right? And if you know this, what is your obligation as a parent? Everyone's got to go through that, man. If you happen to be in that situation, if your kid's dealing drugs, what kind of drugs was he dealing? What did you know? When did you know it? Those are legitimate questions. Now, is this the kind of judgment of a person that you want to be on any court, let alone the Wisconsin Supreme Court? I don't think so. The circumstances that when the parents tried to seek her out, she said, "I'm not talking to you." Didn't acknowledge, didn't nod her head, didn't have any empathy. Walked away. Concerned most about probably her legal position. Number two, about her political position. And lastly, about the child, about the circumstance, about her community.
She's worried about her child.
Well, sure. And I can get that. I mean, I understand the legal point of it. But her child's an adult, and she was apparently aware. Now, at some point as an adult, you have to wonder, why wouldn't you call the cops on your kid? Well, you don't want to protect them, right? But when does the crime become so egregious that you finally do? They got to dig a hole in the basement and it puts a lotion on the skin unless it gets the hose again. You know, what is it going to take for someone to step up and say, "Oh my God, this is not okay. This is not acceptable. You got to stop this or I'm turning you in." You know, that kind of weird family dynamic, that stuff has got to be there, man. And she made the calls that she did. That's fine. Protect your family, protect yourself legally. Totally understandable. I can get that reaction. Absolutely. But then it comes out that her husband want to open a gun range where they're serving alcohol. this is a trend line, a continuance of terrible judgment and self-preservation. And it sucks. And don't tell the kid's dead. It's terrible. I mean, younger than my son. I wouldn't want that to happen to anybody. Man, we had friends die of this stuff. So I get that. But ultimately, if you're down, if you're engaged, you're the responsible one. If you're the supplier, you are also responsible. And if you are covering for the supplier and you're a judge and this thing's been being investigated for 15 months, it's time for some resolution, I would think. This is not about trashing a judge running for Supreme Court. If she was just a regular judge doing her thing, not running for, this is still an issue.
Okay, got a few thoughts. First and foremost, yes, if you're doing hard drugs, you have taken responsibility, hopefully, for your conduct. I mean, you've made a big choice, and you and I have done some hard drugs. No needles, but fentanyl wasn't a problem.
Pills?
I mean, just
taking pills, man.
Well, I didn't take a lot of illicit pills in my day, but
not a lot.
We know Bob did.
Yeah.
We know Bob didn't survive it.
Yeah.
So I would say Bob was a 40-something year old man. 19-year-old kids think they're invincible. I did lots of dumb stuff at age 19 that I would never contemplate doing in my 30s or 40s.
Sure. And you paid adult consequences for some of those actions.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally I did. For my own stupidity. Nobody died, but I did some pretty stupid things. Had felonies held over my head if I didn't plead out to misdemeanors. And did a little jail time. And wasn't real proud of it. And it did change me to some degree. I mean, you think I'm unfiltered now. You should have known the young Crudy. But here's what I would say, Dom. I don't know how you hold a 19-year-old kid responsible. I mean, okay.
The same way you hold every adult responsible.
Sure, sure. When there's truth in advertising. If this kid took 10 perks and died because he had built up a habit, a habitual use of opioids. But, I mean, one pill shouldn't kill anyone, dude. There shouldn't be. When we went to yesterday's, we put our $4 on the bar in La Crosse, and it was all the booze you could drink all night long. People singing on the freaking bar. Ridiculous liability all around us. Everyone was overserved. I mean, I went through like four kinds of booze because I puked my guts out. I wretched myself to the point I could never drink gin again. Most whiskeys. I mean, I ruled out a lot of cheap bar rail stuff that they used to serve us for $4 for the night. But if all of a sudden that's bathtub rum,
right,
and that's poison, and the first drink kills me, well, I didn't sign up for that. That's not a liability that I was risking. You know, if my brake lines are cut, well, it's one thing. I take liability. I take risk when I go on the highway. But I didn't take that additional risk. I didn't sign up for that. So that's where the responsibility falls to the dealer, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I might have taken a Percocet, but a Percocet is not what this kid died of. He died of fentanyl.
A counterfeit Percocet is what he died from. And that's the thing, right? I'm not doubting you, man. I totally get it. You want it, get it from your doctor. That's your best way to get it. But the circumstances around it, people knew. What did mom know? Mom knew. What'd she do?
Well, you're talking about the kid's mom, the UW Milwaukee student?
No, I'm talking about Judge Jennifer Doro.
The mother of the alleged drug dealer that supplied the lethal counterfeit dose.
Yes.
I put a little, perhaps not on the mother of the alleged, but I put a little more responsibility on that kid. That's a different decision-making process.
An adult kid, be clear. It's an adult kid. I mean, they're all adults. They're all over 18.
That goes beyond personal consumption. Now you're affecting somebody else's life. You sold me or served me poisonous bathtub gin, some of that Putin vodka. Well, I think you then have the responsibility on some level. I'm not saying I shirk all of it. I took the drink with
you. You know how it is, man. If something goes down, everybody gets sued.
Yeah, but I'm blaming you for 63%. I'll take like 37. Thank you all for listening. I understand this might be the last segment of today's show.
That is correct.
Big Tuesday. Appreciate y'all being a part. Stick around. Busted Pencils coming up very soon. Native Roots Radio in the meantime. Keep it locked right here. Civic Media, coolest radio network ever. especially the Shaw. Today, the Shaw.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.